You're listening to Potential Cast Season 4, Episode 2, Living Conditions. A series of nightmares involving a soul-sucking demon leaves Buffy convinced that the best way to deal with her overly perky college roommate is to simply kill her. My name is Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And I'm Brad.
Hey, Brad.
Welcome, Brad.
Hey, guys.
Woo.
Oh, so, shucks.
Living conditions. We have not done this.
No.
Okay, I feel like we've talked about it already.
No.
I feel like I wish we had.
As do I. But it was late and I had to get up, and you know how that is, Kim.
Uh-huh. No, I said that just because I think this episode sucked.
Really?
It's a weak one.
Yeah, but it was funny. Like, there were laugh out loud moments for sure.
Yeah, I'm with Kim on this one.
Oh.
Guys, I lived this.
You
shocking,
did.
A shocking similar experience.
You had a roommate who was a demon from another dimension.
Yeah, tell
us
about it.
Eggs labeled.
When I first moved to college, me and a friend went up, and for some paperwork reason, we couldn't be roomed together. Uh-huh. So for the first 2 weeks, I was living with this guy that... He seemed to be a non-traditional student, like in his late 30s or 40s. He came in like 3 days after I moved in, and I come into the room, and he's this large Dom DeLuise, greasy-faced man. And the first thing he says to me, like, I see him, you know, we introduce each other, and then I start to go to the bathroom, and he's like, "Oh, yeah, you can feel free to flush."
What?
What an icebreaker.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, you have a reputation of not flushing?
That's my thing.
No, Brad, that's my thing.
The second time I spoke to him, he came out of the room because he worked night shift, so I only saw him, like, on passing occasions. He stumbled out of the bedroom like Kramer. And me and my friends, like, in the living room area watching television, and he looks at us completely frightfully, rushes to the refrigerator, grabs a small tub of pudding, looks at us, and says, "I'm gonna have to borrow a spoon." As though his life depended on it.
Wow. Maybe he was high.
Spoon back.
Wow.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my friend was like living with a crazed, like, partier.
Just like Willow.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I lived this
did
episode.
Live it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So, did you ever want to kill your roommate?
Luckily, I was only stuck with him for about 2 weeks, but I would have killed him. Possibly with a spoon. But then I got to move in with my friend, who was obsessed with Buffy, and that's how I started watching it.
Nice. I wanted to kill a flatmate once when I went to school in England. Like, each floor had 6 rooms, and they're all like single rooms, but we shared like a common area. And there was this one girl that played her music so loud. Like, I lived across from her, and when she would go out, she'd even leave her stereo on. And one day, you know that. There's that Daniel Bedingfield song, "Gotta Get Through This, I Gotta Get Through This." It was on repeat, I'm not kidding, for like hours. and I was banging on her door to turn it off, and then I realized she wasn't even in there.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to kill her.
Wow. Steph, did you ever have a roommate you wanted to kill?
The only roommate I've ever had is my husband.
So, have you ever known?
Gabby?
Let's do feedback.
Gabby, did you ever have a roommate you wanted to kill?
Oh my god. I had a very inappropriate roommate. My first roommate at college was a very teeny tiny little room, and the only way that the beds could be set up was bunk bed style. And she was a very, very large girl that would sleep in just her panties and a tank top. And I would go to bed before her. So when I would go to bed, I would like roll over so my head was looking at the wall away from the other side. And one particular night, I had, you toss and turn, whatever. I opened my eyes just as she was going up the steps to get to her top bunk, and I saw all the business.
And she insists on sleeping in the top bunk.
I don't recall that. All I know is a couple weeks later I moved and I was in a room by myself. So she was awful. And she had this creepy boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only roommate I've ever had is my almost wife, so yeah. I'm in Steph's book. And there were many rooms in the house, so we could always just walk away. I think that's one of the things that, because I've never been in that dorm room situation, until I think my first ever dorm room experience was Comic-Con. When we stayed at the hostel for the first time, myself, Des, Sue, Rob, and Chris. And it was, you know, okay, so this is what it's like.
Up close and personal.
Yeah. Yeah, which was because I all, like, knew and loved these people. It was awesome. So, yeah. Like, I didn't have any issues. I'm hoping they didn't have issues with me. I know Desiree and Sue. I know Sue recorded. The first year I went to Raleigh, I drove Robin, Sue, and Chris in Boston down. And we did an awesome road trip. And it was Sue, Robin, and myself in the same hotel room. And Sue actually recorded us snoring.
Yeah, I remember hearing that.
Yes, it was on the internet. And boy, poor Sue, what a trooper. Because boy, holy deviated system. just the worst. The worst. Ugh. But, you know, she's from Maine. So, I mean, there's logging up there, right? She must be used to a sawmill. Or am I thinking of Washington State? Never mind. Feedback for living conditions. I think we're going to start with a voicemail.
Okay.
Do it.
We have a voicemail from Hector. It's not very long. Yes. Message for the potential cast. Hector. and he went through all the trouble of putting in ID3 tags in the voicemail, and the album is Nerdlingers with Microphones in their parents' basement. So let's listen to what Hector had to say. And here we go.
Hello, potential cast. This is Hector. I just wanted to let you know, I'm very glad to see you've taken some time off. I suppose you're taking my suggestions and implementing them into your podcast. Well, I'm glad. And I'll have you know I've been preparing myself as well. I've been getting a demonology degree from a quasi-accredited program so I can catch you up in your mistakes. I'll be watching, and I'll be waiting to pounce upon each and every mistake you make. Oh, yes. And I'll send them to you. I'll send them all to you. I'll be watching. be watching. Or listening, rather. I'll be listening. I'll be listening.
Get up here and get your clothes out of the trap.
Can we make mistakes podcasting?
I think so.
What was that?
I think Hector's. I think Hector's put us on notice.
Oh, no. Hector's a jerk.
Hector is Isn't a jerk. It? Oh, Hector! Listen, I mean, thanks for chiming in. Yeah, I'm not sure what you demonology really. Okay, I guess that qualifies you to be a barista somewhere. which is nice. Just don't get my name wrong or my order wrong, and we'll be on fine terms. So thanks for, I guess, for letting us know you'll be watching and listening to us, and letting us know if ever we make a mistake. You know what? Because we welcome all feedback.
Uh-huh.
All feedback. We just only read the nice ones. And maybe next time I'll screen the calls a little better. We also have feedback in the form of emails. Rachel Hughes writes to us about living conditions. Oh, Rachel, the giant font. Living conditions. Hello, dear Gax and dear special guest. As much as I love the metaphor construct of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, there is a tiny part of me that wishes that Kathy was actually just an annoying, or as Kathy would say, super annoying, human roommate and not a demon. If only because the non-literal roommate from hell is often an inevitable experience that most people have to deal with at some point. Nevertheless, if my roommate flossed or cut her toenails, ew, in front of me while blasting shit repeatedly, and even worse, left her toenail clippings strewn on the floor, I might be tempted to commit a little Slayer violence myself. I also kind of wish that Buffy losing her soul would have been dragged out longer, as it might have raised some interesting questions or even drawn some parallels to Angel. There are some bits that I love. Buffy trying to gulp an entire quart of milk while it spills everywhere. I love it when Sarah Michelle Gellar gets to play comedy. Willow's adorable phone call to Giles. Buffy's diabolical look while tied up. Buffy's second callback to Band Candy. My favorite type of continuity and one of my favorite Oz lines when he's patrolling with the Buffinator. And no, it's not the one about the bench. And how many episodes is it going to take for the Scoobies to listen to Buffy's Slayer Spidey Sense? Don't they remember iRobot You, Jane? Well, okay. They get a pass on that one. I try to forget that one myself. The Puppet Show, Ted, or Faith. The girl's not playing with a full deck, Giles. She has almost no deck. She has a three. At least we finally get a Cordelia reference. Although Living Conditions is certainly not one of my favorite episodes, it is a decent standalone, and it does serve the purpose of revealing yet another facet of the college experience, in addition to being a convenient plot device to get Buffy and Willow to move in together. Let's just hope that Buffy doesn't start labeling her food to keep Willow's paws off her sandwiches. Thanks, Gax. Bye, Rachel.
Thank you, Rachel.
Yes, thank you, Rachel.
The eggs were labeled, that was amazing.
What? Everybody doesn't do that?
Oh my god.
I would be afraid that ink would bleed through the shell.
Oh, ink would bleed and, through the shell.
And contaminate your egg?
Yeah. Poison it. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michelle.
Poison the egg or poison you?
Well, yeah, the ink would get into the egg, and I would eat it, and I would get poisoned.
This bears the question, is ink poisonous? I never considered that.
What kind of ink?
Sure it is. As long as it can be. Toxic marker.
I mean, I think eggs come with built-in poison known as salmonella, don't they? I don't think the ink's going to make it any worse. Who wants to read Shelley's email? It's in large font.
I can with my old eyes. Hi there, Gaxers and Guesty. So, honestly, whether or not you went to college, who doesn't have a roommate from Hell Horror Story? I bet the Facebook group will have lots of shares about that, lots to share about that. For me, this is just a silly Monster of the Week episode. Nothing really great, lots of sottiness, but also just plain fun. I do really like all the crazy sound effects and Zoom.
Hold on, my. Shelly, you must send your emails with even larger font. That's all I'm saying.
I really do like all the crazy sound effects and zooming in shots. And oh my god, I hate the whole scene with Kathy and her dad at the end. Really stupid dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more to say. Looking forward to lots of laughing about this one. Love you guys, Shelly.
Shelly.
Thank you, Shelly. Thanks, Shelly.
Thank you. Do I have anything on the Facebook group worth mentioning? I'm sure there's lots worth mentioning. It's just sometimes it gets so conversational that it's difficult to pick stuff out. Hello?
I'm sorry. Okay. I've lost it. Here we go. Syrian Braiders Dugan says he loved this, loved Living Conditions, actually thought it was really fun, especially the part where everyone thinks Buffy is crazy and they tie her up to a chair. Monsters were pretty creepy in this too, but thought the scene between Kathy and her Moloch dude, were pretty funny too. Oh, did I mention that I really like this episode? But I'm also glad that Willow has moved in with Buffy. Now never get why they couldn't have just done that in the first place. Anyway, hope you guys liked it and enjoy listening to your podcast every time a new one comes out. Peace out, guys.
Nice.
That was an extremely run-on sentence. Cary Gardell says, "Do you believe in life after love?"
Yes.
Yes. Katrin Mills says, "It kind of bothered me how nobody would listen to Buffy about Kathy. I think when the Slayer has a hunch that someone is bad news, you should listen to them." Bob DeGrand says, "Living Conditions is in fact the second half of a two-parter wrapping up the adjusting to college beginning of the season storyline. Season 4 starts for reals in the next episode, The Harsh Light of Day. Lots of good episodes coming up and one considered really awful that I sort of like." Beth says, "The talk of the infamous Celine Dion poster in The Freshman made me chuckle knowing that the Cher song on a loop was in the potential's future. My roommate freshman year went through a phase where she played the Dixie Chicks Landslide on a loop. Luckily, I kind of like that song. And I also get a kick out of the last scene of the episode with Willow and the sandwich."
What is it about crazy roommates and blasting really bad music?
I don't know. But if I was a roommate with someone, I would probably blast Rush.
Yeah.
Like the entire 2112 album over and over and over and over and over again. Even the really weird bits.
I get self-conscious if people can hear what I'm listening to.
Yeah.
Not that I don't want them to know what I'm listening to, but it's like I don't want to interrupt that because I wouldn't want to be interrupted. Right.
I think it's because we were raised with, we were disciplined and raised with good manners. And
I grew up in downtown Montreal, third floor above like a boutique, and I would practice my electric guitar with the windows open. So, yeah. Super!
Totally. Most of my friends were musical theater majors, so they were just shouting show tunes at the top of their lungs.
Is that it for feedback?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yep.
Awesome.
That'll do.
Yeah, the, I loved this episode so much.
Did you really?
Oh my god, here we go.
I loved it. My last three notes are awesome, awesome, awesome.
Were you high these past few weeks?
No. I haven't been high in years. I'm waiting till I retire. And then I'll be high again. But no, it's just... I felt making Kathy into a demon was weird. But I felt that having her be extraordinarily horribly annoying beyond belief was just fantastic. Just the best ever.
I like how she was a deterrent. Buffy had to get past her to go patrolling. She was something that kept patrolling difficult for Buffy to do.
I loved when she put on Buffy's sweater.
Oh my god.
My
note there is I would have used my Slayer reflexes to stop the ketchup mid-flight. But that's just me.
But did you notice, like, Buffy's closet seemed to be almost entirely sweaters?
It's Southern California. Really it must be very cold.
Oh, yeah. Freezing.
Huh. But what was up with her jean capris? They were killing me. Like, what was that?
With the shoes.
What was she thinking? Gosh.
So Kathy was hiding, right? The demon was hiding as a person.
Yeah.
As a student, yeah.
All those Darth Maul guys at the beginning, we were led to believe were after Buffy, but in fact when they were saying she is the one, they were referring to Kathy.
Why does my note say Giles runs?
So do mine.
Is it that he was going to go run?
Because he came back from a run when Buffy wanted to talk to him. And she was like, when do you run? So I wrote down Giles runs.
Because he just doesn't seem like a runner.
No.
You're really pushing the midlife crisis thing.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I hope he still has the same crappy car, though. gum gnomes. How can you not adore the concept of gum gnomes? And
those gum gnomes?
Yeah. When Kathy put her book down on Buffy's gum, and Kathy asked
Buffy,
how come there's gum here? And Buffy's response was, gum gnomes?
I see.
Now, would those be gnomes made of gum or gnomes that chew gum?
I think they're gnomes that... gnomes. They're gum. They're gnomes that chew gum.
Really? Does it matter?
It matters to me.
And put them under books.
Yes.
Gnomes that cause chaos using gum.
There you go.
As they collect it.
As they look for underpants. So Kathy must die was one of the things I wrote down. And then
because she's evil.
After she went into Buffy's closet... I wrote, Nosy Kathy must die. Because I don't care if she's a demon or not.
She must die long before that.
If you look into my private pitch, into my private space, you're gonna die.
That's just rude.
That is horrible.
Yeah.
I was getting a little bit uncomfortable when they were going back and forth at each other, because I'm like, aha, this is funny. And then it was like, wait a second, they're taking this a little bit.
Kim, are you there?
A little bit.
Oh. Kim?
But you...
Kim?
Yeah.
We're trying to get Kim back.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. We can discuss as she's getting back. The whole going back and forth, lashing out at each other thing was kind of weird. But, you know, I mean, you've seen that before in other... you know, situations and TV shows and movies. But I thought the fact that it turned out she was evil, for me, made the episode. And I love that when you really find it out is... Okay, let me find my note. She pulled her fucking face off!
I knew long before then.
That was awesome! That was just what?
I don't.
So how did you
Buffy
know way
goes
before
to patrol,
then? Mm-hmm.
Well, when Buffy goes to patrol early on, Kathy, she comes along to tag along, mm-hmm. and she's like, no, I thought I would come grab a decaf latte. It sounds like heaven. Decaf latte never sounds like heaven.
No.
It's morally wrong.
Yes. Yeah, there's nothing right about
okay,
that.
Okay, Parker Abrams.
Ugh. Eyebrows.
Eye roll.
Okay, Gabby, why yep. are you rolling your eyes at Parker Abrams?
Why am I rolling? Because, to me, Parker Abrams is the new Xander as far as douchiness in my book.
Okay, why is he douchey?
He just, he's trying, I don't know, like he's smooth, trying to be smooth, but he's like an awkward goofball or something. I don't know. I just, I can't.
He's Xander Light.
Thank you, Xander Light. Xander
okay,
2.0.
So your douchebag, what do you call it? You have sensors.
My douche alert is up.
Yeah.
Your douche star.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, because Xander's a creepy townie now that hangs out with college kids. Oh,
God. So. Yeah, Xander came to visit. Doesn't the cafeteria at UC Sunnydale look an awful lot like the cafeteria at Sunnydale High?
Yes.
Yes.
Perhaps it was the same architect.
Good one, Gabby. Architect.
Yeah. Did my point get cut off when I...
Yeah, you were saying that they were taking it way too... Click.
She dropped the mic.
Yeah. Just,
and then I walked off.
Just like Precious Taft. Brad, have you been exposed to the glory that is Precious Taft?
I have not.
Okay. Talk amongst yourselves while I send Brad a link.
It has Taft in the name. I don't like it already.
Okay, Xander really wants to assemble the Scooby Gang. Again. Willow's roommate is a party animal.
Yeah.
Did we ever see Buffy, Willow's roommate?
No, you didn't. You just got the idea that she was not happy. She couldn't study. They were partying too much. Everything Kathy does is getting on Buffy's nerves. The two are just not compatible.
Before I was cut off, I was saying I really liked how they were going at each other. Because uh-huh. at first I thought... it was really funny, but then it got a little bit uncomfortable, but then it got funny again because it was so ridiculous.
Yeah. I mentioned that I loved how it turned out she was evil, and I loved the way that we figured out where Buffy tore her bleeping head off, her face off.
I thought it was literally great. Screamed.
I know, it was so
I watched that,
gross.
And I went, and then I think I started rolling on the floor laughing.
Yeah.
What if she'd really ripped her face off, though, and that was a human?
I know. Well, that's what that was my initial reaction. Like, oh my god, Buffy, what are you doing? Okay, now. They're doing this, are we?
I wasn't running on a complete soul, so yeah. I guess it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the telltale signs of how tell somebody is evil. Body parts grow after they're cut off. They iron their jeans. What's that?
Well, those were her clean jeans.
Late FM love songs.
I mean, you know.
And apparently now the decaf latte.
Yeah, the fact that she ordered that she thought something that was decaf was heaven, was Brad's yes. giveaway.
Yeah. And ironing jeans.
Yeah. I don't think anything should be ironed.
I don't iron.
The iron is an oppressive tool.
Yeah, those wrinkles will fall out.
Patriarchal hegemony and stuff like that. Buffy losing it is just amazing. How she just spiraled into insanity, I thought was great. I thought it was really great. And I never would have expected Buffy to just go insane like that.
Me neither.
Oh, and okay.
Buffy and Kathy start.
Sorry, go ahead.
Huh? I'm sorry. Buffy and Kathy start sharing the same dream.
Yes.
Which was
and weird. There's like a. What, was it like a scorpion?
Yes, scorpion on the bed.
She's dreaming about.
So what's the plot there? Why is Kathy pretending to have the same dream? Is there throw her off?
Whoa. Oh, hello.
Sorry. Oh, my parents asked. I can't answer the phone.
It's Hector. Write it down when you answer.
Hector is making a mistake. He's calling us right now.
You've already made so many mistakes.
Holy shit, it is him.
That was a great impression.
He's calling the other line, Kim. Get out of the house.
Continue.
Yeah, I think the whole premise was Kathy needed to have Buffy be mistaken for her. And the way she was going to accomplish that was to eat her soul.
Right, because, but why does she pretend to have the same dream?
So that Buffy doesn't suspect her. So that Buffy thinks someone's coming in and doing that to both of them. Rather than think that Kathy's doing it to her.
Okay, sure.
Really? I thought that was entirely a plausible reason why she was pretending to have the same dream.
It is.
Psychopaths do that, you know. Mm. And Kathy was clearly psychopathic.
So, my question is this. So, was this whole episode designed just to make Buffy and Willow roommates instead of just making them roommates from the get-go? Is that
if that's what it is, then I'm extraordinarily disappointed that they thought we needed some reason to have them be roommates. Other than
it's
just
because
wanting to
when
be
they were
roommates.
In high school, they would. Buffy was encountering things that because high school was hell, the things that a teenage girl would go through, she went through in high school, and now this is. Now that she's in college, these are terrible things that you would encounter as a freshman in college. Mm-hmm. Only supernatural.
Yeah.
Huh?
I don't know.
They could have done worse things with the roommate story. Uh-huh. They could have had her bumbling, you know, and trying to be secretive for the whole season if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Very true.
And that would have been awful.
Excuse me. They would have had it stretched out longer for Buffy to have to hide from a roommate. Her. Is that what you're saying, Brad?
Yeah, and then there would just be a lot of Three's Company scenarios. Where they're hiding a vampire in the closet in between fights. Oh, it would have been awful.
But then there'd be a Regal Beagle instead of the Bronze.
Yes!
Nice!
Okay, this would have been great. Never mind. Scratch that.
Save that, Brad. You need to write that.
I'm on it.
Did you put a pillow over the phone?
Oh!
Did you put a pillow? Are you trying to suffocate the phone?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I ran over across the room and I was like, shh.
That's just great.
So, Buffy comes home and finds that Kathy is entertaining Parker.
What a bitch.
ho.
What a loser, Parker. I hope he was just being polite.
Doesn't Parker remind you of Xander? Like,
yes.
Not just douche-wise, but, like, physically?
They both have terrifyingly giant eyebrows.
Because when that was going on, I was like, oh, I hope that he's not, like, Xander 2.0. That's just going to be really weird.
No, they're not replacing Xander.
Good. Well, not replacing, but I mean, like, using him as a plot device so that Buffy and Xander would get together. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, no. Every once in a while I think, oh, God, are they going to have them get together? Are they going to do that? And I just really, ugh, please don't. Please don't. Please don't. Just...
What if they have Parker and Xander get together?
That's fine. That's fine.
Shaking it up.
They can have, like, the world's biggest eyebrow makeout session. And that's fine. Like, their lips, like their lips will never touch, but their eyebrows will be in constant, you know...
Intertwined.
Yes.
Oh, I got a question. Why did Oz go try to be a girlfriend to Buffy?
To give him screen time?
Yeah, because Willow wasn't available that day.
But what a crappy best friend. She's like, oh, well, I wish I could do the friend thing, but I've got stuff to do. Really? How's that being a friend?
I think Willow is going to kill Buffy.
What?
Yes, I think Willow is slowly turning into the anti-Buffy. And eventually we'll all discover that Willow was just full of, you know, all niceties and pleasantries, and it was all just a ruse.
This is a bizarro world again.
No. Then that's my fantasy, remember?
I know. That one day Willow's just going to suck it to Buffy and say, you know what, you Buffy? You suck. And I mean that.
Nah.
Here's a spell. By the way, is Amy still a rat?
Yes.
And have we seen Amy yet?
Yes.
Okay, so we have seen Amy.
She didn't burn in the fire when the school exploded?
No.
No, she was at Willow's house.
Oh, yeah, because she was at that dude's house,
not watching them have sex.
She's at Willow's house.
Oh, that's right. She's at Willow's.
Yeah. So who's taking care of her? Willow's parents are going to take care of the rat.
Right, because Willow's parents were never home. So I guess she's in Willow's dorm room.
Well, I can't wait to see her
all the party animals?
Yeah. Now, didn't you know when Giles and Oz and Xander tied Buffy up that was a mistake?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was not going to end well.
No. What were they thinking?
I need a proof for some good comedy in the next scene.
Yeah. So, all I kept thinking while Buffy was drinking the milk was Anchorman. Milk was a poor choice. That's all I kept thinking.
That's hilarious.
I love Oz's jacket.
Nice.
And I'm curious as to know who Oz recognized. So at one point he recognizes someone, and we're not given any context at all, and I want to know who that was.
That was weird.
I'm hoping it's an ex-girlfriend, and there's going to be something, and then Willow's going to be crushed, and then she'll go...
She's pregnant.
And then she'll go to Buffy for comfort, and then Willow will not try to kill Buffy, but realize that she's in love with Buffy, and there we go, lesbianism ensues.
I don't know why you're... Where you have got this idea of lesbianism?
Oh, it goes back to the beginning.
There's a time and place for everything. And it's college. It goes back to the beginning. Or when you lived in that co-op for 4 years.
Can we talk about Buffy's clothes?
Go ahead.
The long olive skirt and the tied beige shirt and the ugly sneakers. This was not flattering.
No.
It never is.
Now, Brad, I heard a rumor that you were a costume designer for a semester.
Yeah, for a semester.
And did you ever take advantage of that position and deliberately make someone look bad? Because maybe that's what's going on.
No. Because in my one semester, I never had enough power.
Okay.
Is this mandatory?
No, it was, no. But that's what that's how I got my scholarship. And then luckily I was able to quickly switch over to playwriting degree, which is what I planned, but it's just hard to get in.
So you had to play the system.
Exactly.
Hmm.
We may be talking in about 4 years.
Can do.
3 years. 3 years, I may have to pick your brain.
Awesome.
Okay, where are we at?
Trying to call Kim.
Oh. Sorry.
Hey, you're back. Oh. Yeah, we're just talking about how Brad was a costume designer for a semester and was able to successfully murder someone with the skills he learned.
You would be surprised, though, what a costume designer can do when they get angry.
Well, I heard stories. I'm sure you can leave pins,
like, safety pins and wigs. Yeah.
Yeah, never cross anyone whose job involves sharp objects.
Yeah. They're scary. Trust, they are scary people.
What's somebody being?
Sorry.
It's poor coffee.
It's a laughable bit. We need it.
Something's percolating. Okay, so can we
so
all?
Buffy knew she was a demon.
Yeah, she was right all along. Now, are we convinced Buffy did have Slayer sense, or Buffy just went insane and coincidentally, you know, like in Ted, everything just worked out for her, and she wasn't charged with homicide?
I don't know.
I haven't thought about it.
I don't care. Yeah.
I know. I think, though, in the beginning of the episode, she seems normally annoyed. I think it's after she starts having her soul siphoned off that she goes overboard.
Ah, you know, I think you're right. So, therefore, her unconscious mind is telling her, Kathy is evil.
I'll give her a pass.
Hmm. Yeah.
How did Buffy get her soul back?
That's a good
convenient magics.
Convenient magic. Okay. Yes, at the same time that she was battling Kathy, Willow was conjuring something up.
Oh, that's right.
Who else here loves the comedy stylings of Xander and Oz? Let's both simultaneously go check her bindings. Bonk. All they need are really tall police hats and batons. And 12 frames per second video, and we got ourselves a new set of Keystone Cops here. Which was just the worst video game on Intellivision for the children of the 80s whose parents couldn't afford an Atari. Yeah. Now, I actually wasn't horribly disappointed with the whole, you know, you treat me like I'm 900 years old, I'm 3,000, over 3,000. I mean, I recognize it was lame, but I thought it was cute. It wasn't that bad, was it?
It was fine.
My last note is the opposite of yours, Illyrio. It says, ugh, this ep sucked.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that perspective, totally, but for some reason I was just totally into how Buffy was losing it and how Kathy was super annoying. And I got to tell you, that scene where she pulled her face off just made the episode for me. Completely out of left field. I love that. I love when, you know, TV or film just goes crazy with something I never would have suspected. And it was just awesome that way for me. I just felt it was just hilarious.
I love that just for the joy Buffy gets from finding out she's right.
Yeah.
Because apparently in her mind it was still so much of a question.
Well, you know, enough people doubt you and you start doubting yourself.
I love that bit too. Because it went from being like a complete, oh my god, this show sucks, to like, okay, I'm back in. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all out of points.
Me too.
All I have is another fashion-related one about Kathy's really awesome flower pants. And yes. Like, and it was like, did she get them from her grandma who lives in Boca Raton? Also, I wondered if Child lives in Melrose Place.
I know, I had the same.
That does look like Melrose Place.
Oh, man. You watch out for that head of Locklear. Anyone? I guess we're off to rating the episode. Gabby?
Oh, I was...
Kim. You go first.
But yeah. I have to go first. Kim can go.
Kim, you can go first.
I enjoyed Fine. This episode. I didn't hate it, like, absolutely loathe it. I'm just like, it's one of those episodes that we have to power through to get to the good stuff. Yes. I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10 labeled eggs.
Nice.
Wow. I'm going to be an incredible jerk, and I'm going 2 out of 10 shifty benches.
Nice. As long as you feel it. I'm giving this episode 7 out of 10 conspicuously left open windows. I thought it was fun.
Yeah. I give it 6 out of 10 runaway hiding teenage, well, girls, daughters, I don't know.
Yeah.
Bride.
I thought this was a fun romp, and it gave me flashbacks to a dark time in my life. So, I think I have to go 7 out of 10 Lives After Love.
Nice.
Very nice.
Nice.
Well, that's what we thought. You should tell us what you think. You know, about other episodes coming up. You can write us an email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
Very nice. I knew you were joking. I knew you were joking. I can tell when Canadians kid. Yeah, potentialcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on the twitter.com/potentialcast. Join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/potentialcast. If you don't want to spoil us but you want to talk about spoilery things, you can join the spoiler group, which I am not allowed to go to. It is facebook.com/groups/potentialspoilers. And you can call us 270-40-BUFFY. You can send us an email with an MP3 attachment. And you can, if you have an iPhone, you can tell Siri to record you talking to us and then send it in an attachment directly from your phone or your iPod Touch or your iPad or anything else that begins with I. And yeah, feedback is awesome. Go to PotentialCast.com and check out the show notes. Subscribe in iTunes. Download manually. Tell your friends. We are at about 250 members on the Facebook group, folks.
Wow.
Pretty nice. It's pretty nice. It's great to see people posting things there and discussing things there with other people and not spoiling me. Awesome. I think it's quote time.
Already?
Yeah.
Sheesh. Time flies.
I cannot wait till this episode is over.
Oh my gosh. That's not a quote.
Here, I'll go.
No, there was that moment where Giles like looks at the camera and is like, I can't wait for this episode. Yeah. Face palm.
Yeah, all right, I'll go.
So my quote is... Oh, go ahead.
No, you go.
Okay. Giles, I just talked to Buffy, and yeah, she's feeling a little insane. No, I'm not pitchy crazy, more like homicidal maniac crazy. So I told her to come see you, okay?
Oh, goody. A system.
Happy hunting. Wish me monsters.
Aw, oh, damn.
I've got one. It's Giles. He's our grown-up friend. Not in a creepy way.
Nice. Okay, I'm good. Ex-boyfriend, a lone shark. Oh, Parker. He's so funny.
Like who? Said the Wily Dairy Gnome? I had to use that one because I looked up the proper spelling for Wily. Some words just escape me. All right. Well, that was the Cher episode. As it will forever now be known to us. I want to thank Brad for coming on. And last time you subbed for Gabby, this time you're technically subbing for Robin. But thank you again for being available to us and to share your Bradness.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was fun times.
Cool.
Woo.
What's our homework for next time, Steph?
Next.
It's next only been week. 6 years since the last time we recorded. I mean, come on, we're this out of practice?
We are.
In 2 weeks, it's... The Harsh Light of Day.
The Harsh Light of Day. Awesome. Brad, where can people listen to you and such?
You can listen to me on the Twin Peaks podcast, where we talk about Twin Peaks, and it's fun times, except when Diane Keaton's involved.
Yeah. Well, my sir. Original watching yeah. of that episode wasn't... It didn't think it was that bad. And then my recent rewatch, I was like, this isn't as good as I remember it. And then Ow. Listening along with you guys, you point out every single thing that was horrible about that episode. And I couldn't think of a moment where you guys were wrong. It was not good.
No, it was not.
No. I mean, Matt's right. It Actors was not. Need to be reined in.
Yes, they do.
And but you're also guys, available if, on what I would consider my favorite podcast, which is Ramjack.
Yes, you can catch me on the Ramjack podcast. Currently, we're doing a little rewatch of Mr. Belvedere and yes. Saved by the Bell, which has fashion that if the Buffy fashion freaks you out, jump into Saved by the Bell and have a full-out panic attack.
I mean, okay, Mr. Belvedere, why does a middle-class American family have a British butler? I mean, it makes no sense.
It's amazing.
I'm trying to pitch that show now to the networks.
Well, you couldn't have as much incest now as they had back then.
I never noticed the incest until I followed along with your rewatch.
It's terrifying. Those kids. Those, inappropriate.
Those wacky suburban white kids. What was the name of that movie you recently reviewed with the Mr. Upside Down?
Yeah, we all, because we do too many things in one podcast, we've also been doing Halloween movies as of late. And we watched Head of the Family, which is a fun time.
I will note that down once more, and I will find it and watch it and be feeling terror. Do you think I should write a letter to a lawyer before watching it?
Definitely. You want to write five hypothetical lawyers to five lawyers.
Okay.
And have those give five hypothetical lawyers more letters.
If you're confused by the line of conversation that Brad and I just had, well, do yourself a favor and listen to the latest episode of Ramjack. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, sorry. Also, on the episode, the most recent episode that's coming out tonight, Amy the Rat is in Saved by the Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Crossover.
Completely uncredited.
No.
That's too bad. Circle of life continues.
It does continue.
Indeed.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Everyone, thanks for joining us again. It was awesome. And goodbye.
Bye.
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 Well.
Laters. We'll be right back.
terrible.
She's auto-tuned.
Sure is.
That was the original auto-tune song that made it big. And
Cher is a robot.
It just spoiler alert, this song is going to go on a loop.
Jeff Morgan!
Oh, shit.
Are you okay? Do we have to Skype Birmingham 911?
I think she scared the shit out of Stephanie.
Yes, yes Morgan.
I'm okay. So glad I haven't stopped recording. You have no idea.
Yes.
Oh, that and the fact that that song will go at the end of the podcast for five straight loops is going to make this one of the best podcast episodes ever.